support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
My name's Ralph Martin. I'm the Executive Director of the Los County Industrial Development and Port Authority. We are in Canton, Missouri at Lock and Dam number 20 on the Mississippi River.
Well, how many locks and dams are there to navigate all the way up and down?
They start in the St. Louis region at the chain of locks, and they go up to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and there's 29 locks that they have to maneuver through.
And south of here, what happens?
Well, when you get below St. Louis, once we get to the confluence of the Illinois and Ohio rivers and the Missouri River, there's enough water that...
No more locks.
Oh, they're wide open. As one of the state reps that came up to visit this, he told me, I've always wanted to see the Little River up here. He was from down in southeast Missouri.
So, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So it probably is twice as broad, huh, down south?
Yeah, I mean, there's places that obviously are, and this is a fairly wide spot in the river also, but...
How far is it from one side to the other here?
I don't honestly know right here. I'm guessing it's over a mile, though.
But talk to us about the lock here and how it operates.
Okay, so all of the infrastructure topics that's come up in the last, I'm going to say, 5-6 years, there's been a lot of infrastructure talk, and one of those subjects has been replacing this. Right now, this is a 110 foot wide by 600 foot chamber, and the barge that's getting ready to come to lock through is 100 foot wide by 1200 foot long. Mm-hmm. So, and there's no backup chamber. So, by adding the new chambers, you give a secondary. So if something happens to this one or that one, you've always got a backup to keep river traffic flowing.
But you don't have that here.
We don't. In fact, none of the locks have a secondary chamber. So in the case that happened this summer at the Suez Canal, you know, one little screw up and everything comes to a grinding halt.
Have
and that costs a lot of people a lot of money.
Have you had that here?
You know, once in a while, again, you know, this was built in the 1930s, and I can't. I'm just amazed that the Corps of Engineers can keep these things operational with not very many breakdowns. So it does happen, but not to the extent that you would think that something that's 80 years old would cause you.
Yeah, and that's another fascinating dynamic. This was WPA project during Roosevelt's administration during the Depression, right?
That is correct.
And yet major project.
Incredible. Major project, yeah. Yes.
And so sophisticated technologically relative that could have been in the 50s.
You know, that's another thing. You think about the equipment that they had at their disposal. How did they do something like this? Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's just amazing.
I know. Hoover Dam even more so.
Yes.
So right now, are we in the command room where they control the lock? Let's push some buttons and see what happens.
I think most of what happens outside or any time that I've been here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when this barge gets a little closer, they'll all be out there because it has to be broken apart and secured. You know, one port drug out while the second half locks through.
So if you had a cabin cruiser, a Chris craft, they'd have to open the locks for you?
Absolutely. Even if it was just a fishing boat, you're wanting to lock through and go through. It's free of charge. That's part of the government taking care of, you know, keeping things moving.
Really fascinating.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about what you're most proud of, what intrigues you, and even from an economic standpoint.
Well, from an economic standpoint, my focus is really on this river. I think that, you know, we're a small county of 10,000 people. I think that the drivers that that I've been trying to pursue are river-related. So more port activity, you know, to try and get moving more stuff off the highways and putting it on the river. And, you know, a lot of truck drivers, they kind of bristle up when I bring up the fact that a barge could take this many trucks off the road. And it's not that we're trying to eliminate truck driving jobs. There's always going to be that first or last mile that has to be, whether you're delivering something to the port or taking it from the port to its final destination. Yeah. There's always going to be transportation needs that way.
Talk to us for a moment about one, let's take a 1,000-foot barge, how many trucks does that take off the road?
Well, so this barge that's coming is, and I shouldn't say barge, this tug that is coming is pushing 15 barges. So that would take 1,000 semis off of the highway system. And actually, I think the University of Racine in Wisconsin did a study. If I think they actually used the lock and dam below Hannibal at Saverton and said that it went out for a year or whatever. And all the trucking that ended up on Highway 61 getting those goods to St. Louis to bypass that outage. So it would be an economic, a big disruption in economics. Right. So obviously, like I said, from our little county, my biggest thing that I think we can improve on is more river, putting more goods on the river and becoming that destination.
Don't want to divert too much, but this is under the purview of the TSA because you have Homeland Security and this is transportation related.
That's correct.
So there's issues there to protect this.
Absolutely, and back pre-9/11, you know, now when we come in here, there's a gate that's locked down there and you have to have permission. Before that, you could come up here and just drive
walk
in
around
anytime you wanted to and you know, watch them go through and all that stuff. And now, like I said, without special permission, you have to just sit down there at the... They do have a nice deck for you.
A viewing platform
mm-hmm. that you can kind of see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it's not like being, you know, right here.
Okay, back to you again and your title and position and where we are in the county and one of your primary tasks being things aquatic as far as responsibilities.
Well, again, you know, the Industrial Development Authority is mainly an economic development driver for the region. But since I've gotten involved in it and seen... I just feel there's so many more opportunities for us. You know, everybody's got highways and trains. Mm-hmm. We've got a river, and we need to take advantage of that. So.
And does your responsibility include, like, boat launch sites in the county, in the area?
Well, we've got two granaries in the area that put grain on the river, and then we also take liquid fertilizer off the river. So
that's a part of your overview?
Some of it, yes. Obviously, one of them is private, and one of them is public.
And how about recreation?
Well, in the summertime, there's plenty of boating.
There's a marina near here?
The closest one is on the Illinois side.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you lived over here, if you wanted to launch your boat on the river?
We have plenty of launch sites, but there's not a lot of marinas for storage.
But you can trailer down.
You can trailer and take it back. So, yeah, that probably limits the size of some of the boats you see around here.
And the most common boaters would be fishermen?
No, there's a lot of people that that come out with Sea-Doos and skis and pontoons.
Everything.
And, yeah, anything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fishermen out there. And that's probably, if you see a boat out there today, that's more than likely what that would be, mm-hmm. rather than somebody playing in the water.
Yeah. But the river never freezes over.
You know, it does once in a while.
Really?
This pool is the last pool that's considered open year-round. Because it rarely does freeze completely solid, but I've seen it a couple times freeze solid. Yeah,
that's really cool. So you get a real winter here.
Well, once in a while. We don't like them, but sometimes you do.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to learn more about your world?
They could look up Lewis County IDA or Lewis County Port Authority. Either one, we have website for both sites. And again, my name's Ralph Martin. I'm the director, and we are in... Canton, Missouri at Lock and Dam 20 on the Upper Mississippi River.
Thank you so much. And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
Support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace. and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals Region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes, and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. And Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.